This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
What happens this summer and going into next year, we'll worry about that later. Right now, I'm just thinking about our guys, how committed they were this year, the connection they had, the effort they put in to put us in a position to at least have a chance. We clearly weren't good enough, but not for a lack of effort or commitment from our guys. They were great all year.
Hey, Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
You're going to hear him again in 2 hours. And you're going to hear Klay Thompson in about 15 minutes. His exit interview in full. And just a prediction. It's going to be must-listen radio.
No doubt. And Klay's one to always, you know, be honest with his emotions and how he's feeling in the moment. And I'm sure he'll be asked about his little 360 spin he did. I'm sure you saw that when he was exiting the court.
Oh, yeah.
He took a moment, did a full personal panorama, looked around and kind of gathered himself in the moment before exiting. It was reflection, and it was the kind of reflection that, you know, when you see it, you think, oh, what's he thinking?
Yeah. Is he thinking, I don't know if this is the last time I'm going to exit a court in a Warrior jersey?
Right.
It kind of looked like that.
It did.
It kind of looked like that.
Then you hear, you know, Steve and Steph and Draymond all talking about how they can't imagine life without Klay, and yep. I'm sure Klay will speak to that today in his exit interview about, you know, life without Steve and Steph and Draymond as well, because it now could become a reality.
It's that kind of day, so I'm going to do it on the air.
Ready? Okay. Yeah. All right. Really? You drinking?
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Cheers to the 2023-24 season.
Yeah, and it was
night.
It was a season. It was a season, all right. It was not a couple of years ago when it ended with confetti in my backpack and a parade that you and I presided over on Market Street. And it wasn't even last year where you had that fun-filled first-round upset, quote-unquote, over Sacramento in 7 with a Steph 50 burger and then a Laker disappointment. This was just like, it was just kind of an unseemly end to a very uneven season.
Dude, they lost the 9-10 game by 24 points.
And it wasn't that close.
No. The 9-10 game.
Yeah.
The Warriors missed the playoffs at full strength.
Klay Thompson went 0 for 10.
Oh, God.
0 for 10.
And that's why I keep saying, like, we will arrive at a spot where you're thankful for what happened last night, because it was definitive. What I've been saying all year long, the Warriors lack definition. They don't know who their rotation is. They don't know who's supposed to start. They don't know who's supposed to finish. They don't know what everyone's role is. Well, we finally found our definition. They're not good.
Right.
And so there's no question about whether or not you need to completely change what you're doing. There's no question about that. And there's no, like, boy, if Draymond had just not gotten suspended, I wonder if the answer's no. No, they definitively are not close. They missed the playoffs where more than half the league goes to the playoffs. I mean, that's as definitive as it gets. Let's go to Jonathan in the city on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Jonathan, what are you doing?
Just playing my drums a little bit until you guys put me on air. First of all, I would like to thank all parties involved for giving us the joyful memories, seeing these guys get drafted and develop and become champions four times over. And speaking of over, I think Sacramento really shut the door on us and showed us once again, last night is proof that Father Time's undefeated. Guys, our core is old. I don't know if there's a move in the offseason that could put us back in this mix, but the way it looks like, hey now, don't dream it's over.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's a four for your crowded house.
But you don't need to dream it. You saw it.
Yeah.
That was not a dream. That was real.
But is it over? And some people will say it's not over, and some of those people may be Golden State Warriors themselves.
But what does that mean? What does that mean, it's not over? Like, that's not as clear as maybe it sounds. What does that mean to you?
It's not, well, to me, and I don't believe this, but when I hear people say it's not over, I hear people say, with a couple of things that might have gone differently this year, a couple more breaks, and the emergence of the young players, you could be a 50-win team.
Like my 10-year-old.
Like some of the members of the Golden State Warriors. Oh, Bob Fitzgerald, for example, said, this is a 50-win team. And this year they won 46. If they would have won 50, would they have been a team who made a deeper playoff run? I don't think so. But there are people who think this core, this group can come back and be a 50-win team. And if you're a 50-win team, then you're a playoff team.
Yeah, it's still not good enough.
I agree with you. But that's, to me, what I hear when people say they could still go on a run. This team is still, you know, as composed, as comprised, this team could still be good enough to make a run.
Let's go next to JB in San Jose. Hey, JB, what's up? Thanks for calling.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. Yep. I just want to say that the Warriors going into the this playing game, they were hot. They were really hot. They were playing really good.
They were?
They were in close games. They didn't get blown out.
Yeah, okay. Keep going. Well, okay, like, just look at their last four games. They had a huge game against New Orleans. They lost it. They went to Portland a few nights before that, needed it, barely won against a G League team. Played Utah with a bunch of non-players and pulled that out. They were fine. I wouldn't call them hot. That's just me, but go ahead, JB.
I'm saying, but towards the end of the season, they caught on fire. They were hot. So I think, basically, what I'm trying to say is that Steve Kerr started resting players, key players. They got cold, and they were not hot. And he expected them to come out and be hot. And he shouldn't have rested them. He should have kept them playing. Because they were on the road, they were hot, and I think I put this all on Steve Kerr. Here's my question to you: do the Warriors need a high-paying coach in which they cannot make the playoffs? That's my question to you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, JB, thanks. I mean, there's two ways to answer it. Obviously, they are going to have Steve Kerr, so
right, two more years.
He's not going anywhere. Do you need him? I think so.
Yes, you need him.
But like the word need is I don't even know if that's the right word to put in there. Like,
I think it is, because like, what does Steph Curry want? Does Steph Curry want Steve Kerr to be his head coach? If Steph Curry thinks that he needs Steve Kerr to be his head coach, then guess what, Warrior fans? You also need Steve Kerr to be your head coach. And you could play that all the way down to Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and probably not every guy in that locker room, because Jonathan Kuminga, his camp, had words about Kerr maybe not having faith, or Kuminga not having faith in Kerr, and likewise. But the vets in this team, you bet your sweet bacon that they want Steve Kerr. They need Steve Kerr.
Yeah, you need a good coach. You need someone who understands this group of players. You're not going to start, again, like any of you who want to do these full reboot things, like, yes, you need to, there needs to be changes, but this overhaul, blow it up, change everything. No, it's not what they're going to do. It's not what they should do. I'm just spotlighting one thing that he said there, and this is maybe an unfair way to do it because he's talking about a bunch of players, but the idea that the Warrior veterans who rested were hot and therefore they should not have rested. I wonder if you could guess, Dibs. I'll just spotlight the months of March and April.
Okay.
How many 30-point games did Steph Curry have?
March and April?
March and April combined.
Two?
Maybe
more than two, but...
More than two.
Probably not more than five.
Four.
Okay.
He not hot.
Two was a little hot. I was hot on him not being hot.
Steph Curry not hot.
Four 30-point games. And none of those were 40-point games, were
none.
They?
None. Yeah. None okay. of them were 35-point games.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Klay Thompson has had moments of hot.
Yep.
He's been pretty good the last couple of months. But again, the rest is not, by my understanding, it's not even a Steve Kerr decision. That's a Celebrini decision. That's a Steph and Klay and Draymond themselves decision in some way, shape, or form. That's a discussion where those guys are asked, what's going to put you in the best position to play well next Tuesday? And organizationally, they came up with the idea of sit. And it didn't hurt them at all. They won the games when he sat.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, and again, I know this becomes a characteristic, I'm not giving the players that out. You can't blame Steve Kerr every time a player doesn't play well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, last night, like almost all the players played poorly.
Of Klay's 10 missed shots, I blame Kerr for 9 of them.
Which was the right. one that was on Klay?
I'd have to look okay. it up.
All right.
Just trying to be funny. Trying to make light of it.
We're
here.
Sponsored by Prize Picks.
Come on, people.
888-957-9570. If you want to get whatever it is that's on your chest off your chest, stay right there. We promise we will get to you. However, coming up in the immediate term next, Klay Thompson's exit interview. You're going to want to hear this. It's next on Willard and Dibs.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want Klay back. You know, we've been through a lot. You know, incredible highs, some lows. But the common denominator through both of them is that we've gone through each and every scenario together. You know, it's obvious that we want to continue what we've been doing, but I understand he got a decision to make. He's going to make the best decision for him. Team got a decision to make. They'll make the best decision for the team.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Draymond, we want him back. Steve Kerr, got to have him back. Steph Curry cannot imagine life without him. So what does he think about that? Willard and Dibs, glad you're with us, and we will get back to your Warriors reaction phone calls shortly. But exit interviews happening throughout the day. Klay Thompson live on the podium after all of the discussion. Here it is, Klay Thompson today.
Your future with the Warriors heading into this offseason, that feels obviously pretty unknown.
We don't want to talk about the season first. You want to talk about the future? There was a lot of games played, man. That was a pretty big accomplishment. What's up with y'all not wanting to live in the present, bro? It's ridiculous. Anyways, what was your question?
About the future. I mean, obviously, it's a pretty major topic. I mean, you're a franchise legend here who is an unrestricted free agent, and certainly at this point has an unknown future here. I mean, how confident are you that you'll be back?
To be honest, I really haven't given it much thought, because what I previously just said about the season we had and how much commitment it takes to play the games we did and give it our all. So I really haven't thought about that deep in the future, because I still need to process the year we had. And it was one filled with ups and downs, but ultimately I personally and our team did everything we could to try and, you know, win as many games as we possibly could.
Living in the present, mm-hmm. What were some things
to be?
What were some things going through your head, you know, last night when you were walking off the court? I know you lingered there a little bit longer than usual after the game.
Some of the things going through my head. Well, first one, just disappointment because to not shoot the ball well, obviously, big old donut. So that wasn't very fun. I did look up in the nosebleeds, though, and I did see a man wearing a number 11 jersey. That made me happy, you know, considering my history in Sacramento from playing a state championship there to playing the Kings in the playoffs. That was kind of a full circle moment for me. So that was actually a good moment, just seeing that Warriors fan standing by his lonesome up in the 300 level, repping 11. That made me grateful.
Like Steph, Clay, I mean Steph, Draymond, and Steve all basically said they want you back. They want to keep this thing rolling. What does it mean to you to hear that from those guys? And you probably already knew it, but what does it mean to hear that from those guys telling the public that?
It means a lot. I mean, we've been through the highest of highs and lows, whether it's losing a championship, winning a championship, missing the playoffs. We've been through everything together. So that does mean a lot. And makes me grateful to have the times I've had with them, like done some pretty historic stuff.
How do you view the next several weeks going? And I mean, it's clear, like you're not necessarily ready to think about the future this moment, but like, how quickly do you think you're going to have to kind of pivot and figure that out? And what conversations do you feel like you need to have?
Well, consider it's April 17th. I don't think I have to pivot that quickly. When is free agency? July 1st. Yeah, I got some time. Got some time.
Clay, what do you think is the biggest lesson that you learned this past season?
The biggest lesson that I learned? Probably I learned that, you know, you got to take, you can't be a front runner. You can't shy away from the bad moments and just embrace the great ones. You got to embrace them all. That's for anything you do in life.
Clay, that was kind of along what I was going to ask, but what kind of growth did you see in yourself this season, specifically with different roles? You had, you know, some ups and downs, and you shined and came back from some tough stretches and came off the bench and started, and just you did a little bit of everything.
You know, I think I learned that the best ability is availability, and I thought I did that very well this season, playing through tough times or being available almost nightly, only missing so many, a handful of games. So I learned that when you give yourself that shot of being out there every night, that's the best thing you can do for yourself, rather than just hanging on to those big scoring nights or whatever. It's about just competing nightly.
Were there any breakthroughs for you emotionally with, you know, just everything you went through and just being able to handle everything you went through?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a strong person. You don't take a couple years off injury and come back and play that many games without being strong-willed and minded. So that's what I did learn about myself, is that it takes a lot of mental fortitude to play through injury and, yeah, shooting slumps, all that. It takes a lot of willpower.
You're listening to Clay Thompson and his exit press conference on 95.7 The Game, Willard and Dibs.
You know, for yourself, kind of moving forward, what are your priorities?
Obviously, you want to keep winning. I mean, when you've been a part of winning seasons, you don't really want to go away from that. So I would like to win again. One for the thumb would be nice. I still think it's in reach. It's just going to, yeah, take a huge effort, but other than that, just got to think about that. What will really make you happy in the last, you know, few years of your career?
You just talked about kind of living the moment, the best ability being availability. What do you, I mean, you played 77 games this year. What are you most proud about for this season?
That amount of games I played, and averaging whatever 18 points and playing 77 games. It's not my career averages, but still pretty dang good for, you know. Yeah, it's still pretty dang good.
Clay, last night Draymond was saying that he doesn't see any scenario in which the ownership group of this team doesn't at least put forth the effort to take care of the guys that have taken care of this organization so much over the last 10 years. Do you feel that kind of effort and love, specifically in this scenario, but then also over, I mean, I guess since your entire career here, but since 2019, going through the injuries, the extension after that, just that they've put in that effort to make you guys and you feel appreciated?
Oh, man. Well, 2019. Well, could you imagine if they didn't pay me after I got hurt? That would have been really bad. Like, oh, went to 5 straight finals. You blew your knee out? Yeah. Sorry. So, no, I mean, that was very nice of them. I mean, I try. I mean, every year I give my best effort. And the ownership group has been great. I have nothing but positive things to say about them. They treat us like they treat us with great respect and do all the little things for us to do our jobs at the highest level. So it's been, I mean, I don't really know how to answer that. I mean, it's up to them, but at the end of the day, whatever happens, it's all gravy. It's been such a freaking special run.
Clay, how much is your appreciation and love for the game grown, especially since the two injuries? Thinking about that first game you came back here at Chase Center to where we are today?
Yeah, that was one of the best moments of my life, to be honest. You know, before those injuries, I was really naive and thinking, like, this is easy. Like, all I got to do is do your routine and you just go out there and hoop. And, yeah, it's that easy. But, you know, playing that many years of basketball takes a toll on your body, and I think that's for any sportsman who plays a physical sport. There's going to be times where you might break, and like I said before about being a front runner, you don't want to be a front runner when things are great. You got to really dig deep when you go through injuries like that. That's just a part of the beast.
Clay, since you've proven you're still a quality scorer in this league, obviously teams are playing you differently. It looks like, you know, they're pressing up on you, being physical. How have you had to adjust? And moving forward, what do you think you need to do to kind of combat how teams are going to guard you?
I think I just need to keep doing what I've been doing, honestly. I think last night was just a bad shooting night. I mean, it happens. Unfortunately, it was in a one-game format, but that's the situation we were in, and much different than a 7-game series. So I just thought I had a off night from the office. Can't let that deter me from what I think of myself or what I'm capable of. I think I just need to continue to be in great shape and have fun, and the rest, and I'll be great.
Clay, you've talked about gratitude for just playing basketball, and obviously the connection with Draymond and Steph comes up a lot, but how much do you also sort of view that this organization, your connection with Steve? I mean, he's the only coach you've had. You know, you talked about how the conversations with him this year that helped turn your season around. How, beyond just Steph and Draymond, how comfortable are you in this organization, and how does that sort of shape any decision this offseason?
Played for Mark Jackson too.
That's true.
And I mean, I love everyone here, from the security who does the floor at the games to the security from the Oracle days. I'm still friends with them. To the community of Oakland, I mean, yeah, I grew up in the Bay Area, really. I've been here since I was 21. And I just always, I've loved it. E. Housen, even Ray Ritter. I've gotten to know these people on a way deeper level than just work life. So it is a really cool place to be.
You're listening to Klay Thompson with his exit press conference after the season on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Did you put maybe too much on yourself and maybe raise your expectations too high when you came back, given what you've gone through?
I don't think so. Because when I came back, you know, I was a second leading scorer on a championship team. And when you've experienced that, you're like, I'm back. Then even that next year, led the league in threes, 41% from three. Like, on 300 makes, that's very hard to do. So the moments were there, but maybe my burst wasn't what it was, and that happens. But at the end of the day, you know, I still feel like I can do it at a very high level, and I did have times where I did. Obviously, the way it ended this year wasn't what it was the last couple of years, but I'm not going to let one sour night or beer ruin a decade plus of great work and success.
You've mentioned a couple times, you know, learning about not being a front runner.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate on that? And is that like a personal thing? Is that a team thing? Could you just explain a little bit more?
That's more of a personal thing. You know, you sulk, you pout when you're not shooting up to your expected splits. And I think I did better with that this year, just trying to exude great body language at all times and think deeper than just stats. Think about your love for the game and why you do play this game. And, you know, at times I have been a front runner in the past when things don't go my way. I might point the finger rather than just taking ownership for your situation. So that's what I've learned, and I try to pass down to younger athletes, is because when you do great things over and over and you keep that high level of confidence and attitude in a great space, they'll eventually work out for you and you'll have no regrets when it's all said and done.
Klay, you were talking just now about the appreciation for everyone in the franchise, from security to all the way to the top. I wonder, can you take me back to when you were drafted, what your thoughts were then and what the hopes were you had for your NBA career and what you've been able to do?
Taking us back. Oh man. Wow. Back in June of 2011, when I got drafted by the Dubs, that was probably, at the moment, that time, best moment of my life, just because the NBA was always a dream. Being able to be close to home, you know, I have family in Oregon and in Southern California, so that made it even more special. And then, yeah, all the moments that have led me here, it's been awesome. Like, couldn't have ever dreamt of what we've been able to do and what we can still do. So we've elevated this team into a global club. And I mean, who saw that coming 20 years ago?
Hi, Klay. Hello here. So do you want to say anything to the Dub Nation and the fans around the whole world, like, who supported you all the time?
That's actually a great segue from my global brand talk. We love you guys and thank you for your unconditional support these last 10 years. I mean, it doesn't go unnoticed that there are Warrior fans across the globe, from, you know, China to Tokyo to South America to Europe. I've seen Warrior fans everywhere I've went, and it always makes me feel good, is what I'm trying to say.
Two quick ones. Looks like you got kind of a fat lip. Was that from the game last night?
Yeah.
Take an elbow or something?
That is correct.
You mentioned, you know, a few years left. How much are you viewing kind of your next contract as, you know, your last one? Or, like, where are you at on kind of, like, the bigger picture future?
Maybe, you know. I don't know. When that time comes, I mean, I'm not trying to put a expiration date on my career. That's kind of something you just go by feel.
Klay Thompson's exit press conference the day after the season at Chase Center, and bookend questions from our Warriors insider, Anthony Slates.
Yep.
And sometimes with Klay, I can't tell if he's actually upset or if he's just being like aloof and sarcastic.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know. And for those of you who maybe joined in the middle, take a listen again to the initial response. And this is the one that people are batting around quite a bit here.
Your future with the Warriors heading into this offseason that feels obviously pretty unknown.
We don't want to talk about the season first. You want to talk about the future? That was a lot of games played, man. That was a pretty big accomplishment. What's up with y'all not wanting to live in the present, bro? It's ridiculous. Anyways, what was your question?
Anyways.
I think he was trying to be funny.
Was he trying to be funny, or did that actually get under his skin a little bit? I can't tell with this guy.
I think it got under his skin a little bit. But then again, if you want to talk about like what is freshest on everyone's mind, let's talk about that big donut that he referenced.
Well, I mean, look, what is on everyone's mind is what is on everyone's mind. One thing I've learned, right. And this is the constant rub between players and media. Players want to tell the media, you don't know what it's like to be us. You're right. I'd argue right back, you don't know what it's like to be us. Our business is what people want to know and what people are thinking and talking about. And nobody is talking about, as you put it, Klay, the big accomplishment that you just had. Because what you just accomplished was the 10 seed and a one and done out with 0 points. I don't think that most people in the adult world think that that's much of an accomplishment. So that's not, this is not to take a shot by any stretch.
Yeah.
But you can't coach the world into what they want to think about and talk about and know about. And the question of what you're going to do next today is way bigger than what you just did.
Right, but because
what you just did is not very memorable.
Well, what he did in his mind is very memorable, and he played 77 of 82.
Okay.
He played more minutes than he had since his double devastating injury. So
it's great.
He's in a spot where he's looking to reflect at least on that. 77 games, and he may not have played his best ball. He even mentioned it, you know, to average 18 points a game is no small feat, even though it's not up to his career average. It still is 18 points a night in the association. So he was looking, I think, for a little bit more of an easy, hey, Klay, you know, what do you make of your year this year? You played in 77 games. Pretty good for a guy, you know, just a couple years removed from two devastating injuries.
Yeah, that's not even a question.
Right.
But what's the question?
How you feeling?
Yeah.
No, the question that everybody wants answered is, what are you thinking? The offseason's here and you're a free agent.
I mean, we didn't even get a I want to stay. We got a I'm not thinking about that right
now. He hasn't thought about it.
Yes, he has.
Are you calling Klay Thompson a liar? His father said they haven't discussed it.
Right. And what did I do for 24 hours after that interview?
You unfriended him on Facebook?
No.
But
of course they've thought about it. Of course, you can't turn down a contract in November, then admit that you had to go to Steve Kerr's office 4 times to talk about...
How many times?
4, because you were sort of offended based on playing time and standing within the organization, and then pop out in April and be like, haven't thought about it.
Right.
I'd argue you haven't thought about anything else. So, listen, I'm not trying to pin Klay Thompson. Let's just ask the question. Now that you've listened to that, what do you think?
I think that he is not coming back on a bargain. And I think that if he gets a deal that is better financially somewhere else, he will take that deal.
Mm.
And that's partly because of the answer he gave about, you know, Klay, how did you feel when you got that extension after you tore your ACL?
It was interesting, wasn't
it?
And
he said, well, you go to the NBA Finals 5 straight times, I would expect, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, I would expect them to make that offer. It'd be kind of shocking if they didn't.
Well, I mean, it's wild because he's up on stage a couple of years ago going, who does that? Who pays a guy in the hospital?
Right.
And today he goes, I mean, can you imagine if they didn't pay me after five straight trips to the finals? That was a different answer.
Yes, it was.
A very different answer. So I'm with you that Clay is not in a kumbaya warrior space. He might be in a kumbaya Steph and Draymond space, but he may get to the point where those two things don't match up.
He got paid $68 million those 2 years that he didn't play, and for his career he's made $268 and change on the court, and he even referenced his Chinese shoe brand. I don't know how many millions he's made through that, but man, money's not an object or shouldn't be, but I got the sense from that answer, like, he's going to take whatever the best deal is and just, you know, make Clay happy.
And more power to him if
exactly.
he does. More power to him if he does. I've always had a hard time understanding if you truly, especially after that, money is no object ever again. If you truly want to be here, then just be here. I mean, you said you want to stay at Dub, but that doesn't mean all of the onus is on the player by any stretch. I don't think that at all. And if whatever prioritizes his situation, do it.
Right.
That's what being a free agent is all about. But how do you react to it? What do you think now that you've heard of that? How did last night make you feel? Back to your phone calls next. 888-957-9570, the number. We're presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises. This is Willard and Dibs.
To be honest, I really haven't given it much thought because what I previously just said about the season we had and how much commitment it takes to play the games we did and give it our all. So I really haven't thought about that deep in the future because I still need to process the year we had, and it was one filled with ups and downs, but ultimately I personally and our team did everything we could to try and, you know, win as many games as we possibly could.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I'd argue that Klay Thompson's future absolutely is in the moment. That is exactly where people's heads are. That is this moment. But I get it. This isn't trying to pin Klay or anyone else. When you do this for a living, you sort of get used to the things people say when they just don't want to answer a question without saying, I don't want to answer the question. I haven't given it much thought is one of those things.
Right. Because we don't know if he's if he's telling the truth or not. We're not inside his head.
It
feels like he probably has given it some thought.
I got a $100 bill that I would bet that he's given it plenty of thought.
Of course.
But he doesn't, like, this is true and this is fair. For people who have press conferences, by the way, already, just by virtue of you having a press conference, it means you're pretty cool. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, you get a podium and people want to know what you have to say.
How many press conferences have you held?
Zero. Yeah. Zero.
I mean, I've been in the Q&A as a varsity sports coach.
Yeah, like, I've hosted press conferences for other people.
Yeah. I've had two reporters maybe asking me questions post-match. But that's about it.
That's it.
No podium, no dais.
No.
Yeah, a little dynasty up there, Granny, but don't let that get in the way.
I've had them in my living room before, but nobody wants to attend them. Hey, kids, get up here. Oh, God, Dad wants to talk again. Anyway, if you're having a press conference, you're pretty cool. And no, you don't have to answer the question before you're ready to answer it. Them's the rules. We're going to try to ask. You answer it when you're ready to answer it. Klay Thompson doesn't need to answer the free agency question yet because it's not July 1st, so he didn't answer it. But in that world, we also get to take what our guess is when you don't answer it. Because how long was that, Grandy?
It's about 17 minutes. About 20 minutes? Yeah.
About 16 and a half.
Did he ever say, I want to be a Warrior?
If he did, I think we all missed it.
Did he say, I want to stay?
If you said that, we all missed it.
It's an option.
Well, he doesn't have to say that.
No, he doesn't.
He can go full Brandon Ayuk and start releasing things through his camp, or go full Debo and scrub him from his IG.
Oh, my God.
What if Klay Thompson sold his boat?
If Klay scrubs his IG, I quit. I mean, my God. My goodness.
Clay Thompson's Tiburon estate is up for sale.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Right?
He could have said that. He chose not to. And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's not like
that. He did reflect on his time here and how much he enjoyed it.
Yeah, but reflecting on his time here, that doesn't necessarily feel like a good thing.
Agreed.
I'm glad he was asked. What was that about when you stopped and started staring up into space before you walked off the floor? And his answer had a pretty hefty pause in it. And again, I translate that as, well, let me think about what part of that I'd like to share with you and which part I'd like to keep totally to myself. And then the conversation ended up in talking about a dude in a Warrior jersey up high in the stands.
In the 300 level.
Do you have it or do you want me to hit it, Grandy? Let's play that for everybody. Here
some of the things going through my head. Well, first one, just disappointment because did not shoot the ball well, obviously. Big old donut, so that wasn't very fun. I did look up in the nosebleeds, though, and I did see a man wearing a number 11 jersey. That made me happy, you know, considering my history in Sacramento from playing a state championship there to playing the Kings in the playoffs. That was kind of a full circle moment for me. So that was actually a good moment just seeing that Warriors fan standing by his lonesome up in the 300 level, repping 11. That made me grateful.
Okay. So again, every answer, what do I want to share with you? What do I not want to share with you? So first, I was disappointed I didn't play well. Then I saw a guy in my jersey, and I started to reflect on my connections to this area of the country and what have you. Do you buy that that's what was going through his head? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It absolutely looked like someone who was walking off the court and then had a thought, like a lightning bolt,
yeah,
shoot through his brain. Oh, hold on a second. This might be it. Let me soak it in for a second.
But that runs anathema or counter to what he said in the press conference where he said he hasn't even thought about free agency. So how can you pause and take it all in about possibly having the NB near and at the same time not have thought about free agency, which would lead you to the end perhaps being near? Huh. I mean, I'm making light of it.
No,
obviously he has thought of it.
Of course he's thought.
And walking off the court after that game, and he mentioned the donut, 0 for 10 from the floor, I'm sure he was having a moment of like, wow, this is not the way I wanted to end my time as a Warriors if I'm going to end it. But on my way out, let me look up top for somebody in an 11 jersey. That'll make me feel good.
Give me the odds.
Of him still being a Warriors? You know, we've done this so many times.
I know.
And I've been more of the camp that he's going to be gone. I would put it right now at a solid 50-50.
Oof.
That he's going to be gone. I think
I'll go more 65-35 that he stays.
Okay. I think when push comes to shove, A, there will be some team out there that wants to give him a decent chunk of change that the Warriors maybe don't want to give him. It, for me, it's going to come down to Joe Lacob and the luxury tax.
Yeah, my issue with this conversation, and then we're going to come to the phones. My issue with this is it feels to me, and I don't know Klay Thompson, it feels to me like he is someone who operates with a very healthy dose of, I want respect from the people around me. That matters to him. First of all, he has it, but he may wrap that up into tangible things, such as the salary that is offered to you. And so in other words, I would think normally someone who's achieved this much with this organization and apparently wants so badly for Steph, Clay, and Dre, for all of them to be together, that let's say someone did offer you 28 and the Warriors offered you 22, I think most human beings actually in Clay's position would go, I'll take the 22. If the rest of that stuff actually matters to you that much, how can you put a price on that?
Especially when you've made $260 million on the court.
On the court alone, right. The guy is probably, I mean, I don't know, is he closing in on $500 million in terms of just overall earnings in his career? Whatever. It's well over $300 million for sure, okay? So if money's no object and you love a place and it's home and you love your coworkers, would you take a little bit less to stay? I'd argue most humans would say yes, unless that human is highly attached to the meaning behind whatever those numbers are. And Clay strikes me as one of those people.
Right.
And that's why the percentage...
It's not a detriment.
No, not at all. It's not a criticism. Right. It's just an assessment of, I think the likelihood of him leaving becomes higher because of that perceived characteristic.
If they do offer him 22, and let's just play with that for a minute, he would be the Warriors' fourth highest paid player next year behind Wiggins and Draymond, assuming that everybody is still on the team. So Clay's going to make 22. If he gets, 25 from, and let's just pick Orlando, because the great Jimmy Shapiro, who inundates us with emails,
yep,
he sent the email with Klay Thompson next team odds. Orlando is the favorite at 3-1, and their highest paid player next year will be Cole Anthony, making 12.9. Jonathan Isaac is making 17.4 next year, not fully guaranteed. Klay would go to Orlando, a team with a ton of cap room, and he would probably be the highest paid player. He'd be the most established. He'd be the veteran. And he could fulfill a lot of those respect quotients on a new team, being the OG, the four-time champ, making the most money and all the rest of it.
Yep.
And not have to go out there and carry the water, really.
That's also crazy to think of an NBA team having Klay Thompson as their highest paid player.
Right. Like that. Carroll's only making 12 next year. Wendell Carter Jr. is making 12. They got a bunch of pups. Yeah. These guys are all options.
They can afford it, and they need shooting, and that's why everybody
and they
brings
need veterans,
up.
Yeah,
that's why everyone brings up the Orlando Magic. But again, my assessment of the quote unquote big three is that they can't have that label anymore unless you're simply talking about emotions. They emotionally will always be the big three.
Personalities,
They'll be that after they retire. But in terms of pecking order and responsibility, that number needs to go down for all of them. All of them. And so the idea of Klay Thompson going somewhere and having the pressure of being a one or a two, like, he probably doesn't see it this way, but if I were him, I don't want that. I don't want that because you can't do that anymore. You're not a 34-minute per game, 25-point-per-night person. You're just not that. That's what this year just proved.
And I think a team like Orlando would be one that would afford him to be in the role much more befitting of a player at his age and his minute restrictions, because they do have so many young, talented players. Franz Wagner averaged 20 this year. They got Suggs and Carter Jr. and a bunch of other 23- and 24-year-old pupsters.
And they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. They're well into the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a cold reminder.
Sorry.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
you change the channel to whatever crap's coming up in this play-in tournament. Well, you're going to make me watch it.
TNT was on because of the Laker game yesterday.
Yep.
And what show is this that was on 40 minutes ago? Like naked people getting dragged around a living room.
Hello.
And it was No.
Oh.
Not like that.
Oh.
Very unsettling.
Oh.
Very distracting.
Oh.
I try to listen to Skinny Dibs.
What is going on here?
Trying
to listen to Skinny Dibs talk. We're trying to take calls.
You better be careful.
Right? Our neighbor Chip is chiming in every now and again.
Love the Chipper.
Right? Lucas booked an unbelievable guest today, Steve Kerr, in an hour.
And Klay Thompson.
Thank you.
trying
to get all this laid out here, and I got naked men getting dragged through a living room and bent over a couch. Whoa. And I'm, no, seriously.
This show is definitely charming.
I'm like,
by
this
the way.
Is all. Like, what
it's a legendary show because this happens to all sports shows. They talk about it on radio all around
the
country.
Yeah, but like, and with no charmed. Sound. We're in like, it's like sports bar style mentality here where it's just a TV. So all I get is the pictures.
Comes on and after, on and before, before and after, I should say.
Like,
all sorts of games.
Like just a terrible visual. Terrible visual.
And it wasn't Naked and Afraid. Because they're naked.
I don't know
and afraid.
What the hell it
they
was.
They don't do a lot of living rooms on that
he
show.
He was naked and I was afraid, but I have no idea what it was.
Look at us.
Outside of that.
We're going with Charmed.
All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first-class money market today.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.